Coming up on today's show.
I felt led of the Spirit to go to confession, and he prophesied over me. He said, this is a vocation for you. You're called as an artist to make films, and that is a ministry.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Plus, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We are in a time of year when, in sports, we have been watching everything from March Madness to the NHL playoffs to the NBA playoffs, and there are a lot of David and Goliath-type moments, are there not? You will see, say, a 16 seed against a 1 seed, a 15 against a 2, or maybe an NBA team that had to fight through the play-in games just to get into the playoffs, perhaps a wild card that we might see later this year in the MLB playoffs, or as is possible in January in NFL playoffs. And the odds makers don't help when they install one team as an overwhelming favorite. There's always an element of, how can they possibly pull this off? Maybe at your job, you go to work dreading something, a Herculean task that you just feel, where am I going to get the strength to take this on? But alas, we can find it in the Old Testament and stand strong in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 15 and 17, which say, quote, "And he said, pay attention, all of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says to you, do not fear or be dismayed at the sight of this vast multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight in this encounter. Take your places, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. He will be with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and meet them, and the Lord will be with you." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest excelled in three different sports. As a boxer, he competed in the Catholic Intramural Boxing League's lightweight division and won 80% of his fights by knockout, the rest by points. He was nearly undefeated, losing only one fight. In basketball, he was the only white player, starting guard, on an all-black basketball team in Pittsburgh Intramural League. His team won the championship and had an undefeated season. And in the men's softball championship in Pittsburgh, he hit the winning walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, resulting in his team taking the championship and carrying him on their shoulders in celebration. He is an Academy Award-considered filmmaker, best-selling novelist, and a guitarist who has composed over 1,000 songs. His latest family faith-based film has won 15 awards at film festivals and can be seen for free on Amazon. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Richard Rossi.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I'm elated to be with you today.
Thank you, Richard. I'm looking forward to this. I think I know the answer to my first question, or at least the first part of it, based on what I just read off there. But go ahead and tell us, where were you born and raised, as well as what the family size was?
Yes, Bruce, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. I was the oldest of five children. There were four boys. And then my mother finally got her girl on the fifth child, my sister.
So tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Rossi household when you were a boy, because I already have a follow-up question, but share that with us first.
Sure. Well, you know, my mother came up every night with my brothers and I. We were in an attic, and we had a little bed in each of those four corners for me and my three brothers, and she would say the rosary with us. Mm. We had prayer in the evening. In fact, to this day, I fall asleep every night holding a rosary in my hand and praying.
Wow.
And we went to Mass, parochial school, Catholic school, St. Athanasius School in Pittsburgh. And my father, it was hard for him to take us to Mass, but he did his best. He was a musician playing in clubs and bars in Pittsburgh, and he'd get home very, very late Saturday night. So sometimes he'd be tired and tell me to sneak out right after communion, which got a rebuke from our local priest and said, oh, you Rossies need to stay for the whole Mass, not scoot out after communion.
Well, actually, I'm going to put the follow-up question on hold for a minute. Let's make sure we talk about some sports first. The boxing, basketball, and softball participation that I read off in the intro, to me, sounds like it was maybe in your adult or young adult life. Set the record straight for us on when those were, maybe age-wise, but also, if those were not in your youth, were you active in sports as a kid?
The basketball and softball, those were adult. The boxing was as a youth, and I didn't want to be a boxer. I was a skinny kid. It all came about because there were boys that were picked on and called sissies, and they were small or, for whatever reason, nerdy type boys. And I just couldn't stand the bullies. You know, they would punch them and call them bad names and things like that. So I would stand up to the bully and say, don't do that. He didn't do anything to hurt you, you know. And then the bully doesn't like to be challenged. They want to fight. And the priest noticed that I would win, you know, reluctant fights against guys a lot bigger. And I mean, I don't know if I should even say it, but part of it was, you know, I grew up with some abusive and mentally ill adults around me where I had to learn how to block punches and duck. Maybe that prepared me, but I was in a public school at 15 and I was kicked out for fighting, even though I was defending the kids against the bullies. I got sent to a strict Catholic school because of the fights. And some priests said, man, you're really good. Why don't we do this in an organized way? And they put me in a boxing league. And I really didn't like it, but I was skinny and I didn't look like a boxer, but I was good. I could, you know, in boxing, there's the three D's. Distance is when you duck or move back, and deflect when you block, and then destroy when you come with a punch. But I was good at distancing and missing punches and dancing. And but the problem was it put another target on my back because the bullies are always winning all these fights. You know, we'll get some real status if we... So I was constantly being challenged to fight, which I didn't like. I wish I could do it over and somehow be more of a diplomat with the bullies, but it got me into fighting because the priest said, hey, you know, you're good at this and let's learn this in an organized way, you know?
Wow, wow. Well, I was fortunate to have actor Mark Wahlberg on this show, and
wow,
we talked on that show at the time. He was promoting his film Father Stu, and for those that saw it, and I guess even for those that didn't, Father Stu had been a boxer before he became a priest. This is a true story. And of course, Mark played a boxer in a previous film many years earlier. Have you ever put any sports into any of your films, Richard, or given any thought to it if you haven't?
Yes, I've had multiple sports screenplays. I've written one that I haven't made yet. It's called The Immaculate Reception, and it references in my hometown Pittsburgh Steelers. The real turning point was when Franco Harris had this great play called The Immaculate Reception, and that turned the fortunes of the Steelers towards winning four Super Bowls in the 70s. But it also is going to get into the Catholic faith aspect of the Immaculate Conception. So that's one that I haven't made yet, but I've made some others.
Okay, well, before I forget, let me get back to that follow-up question that I was going to ask before when you were talking about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Rossi household when you were a boy. I mentioned in the intro that you're a guitarist and composer. What were the series of events that took place that resulted in you taking those talents and doing music ministry, albeit outside of the Catholic Church?
Well, my father was my teacher. He was a really great professional jazz guitarist. And when he went into a mental hospital. I had to take over a lot of the gigs and play in the clubs in Pittsburgh as a kid. I was really desperate for spiritual help. And when he went in the mental hospital, our family was temporarily split up, and us kids had to go in different places and live different places temporarily. And I was recruited by some evangelical people, and it told me about, being saved and asked Jesus in your heart. And looking back, I'd already done that. I had a letter I wrote Jesus when I made my first communion that my mother kept, and I saw years later where I asked Jesus in my life and heart and made my first communion. But the evangelicals have this mindset that, oh, you're not saved. You Catholics don't get it. You value the Bible like we do, that sort of thing. And I felt like, what is this, a cult, or what is this? I was not Catholic. But, they said, hey, if you get saved, Jesus and God will come and heal your dad's mental illness. He'll save your family. He'll do all these things. So I prayed to ask Christ in my life, and they saw my music talent and said, you could write songs, and what happened was I started writing some faith-based songs. I wrote one. The first one I wrote was called The Light on the Road, about the conversion of Saul. And it had a rock beat. And so my music, and I had a friend in high school who started writing with me, but it started drawing literally thousands of kids to different Christian concerts and events and everything. So the evangelical world is very utilitarian, and they saw, like, well, this kid can bring a lot of youth to the meetings with his music.
Wow. Let's start digging into your faith life while you're talking about it, because we know that sports-wise, you were a boxer in the Catholic Intramural League, but you really have incorporated your faith life into your everyday life. Tell us about your vocation in filmmaking, how that came to be, but also the decision to make faith-based content.
Well, I had a viewpoint that I felt the Holy Spirit had put in my heart, that God is the master artist, the creator of all things, and artists support other artists. So I'd done some acting. I kind of stumbled into getting some acting roles in some major TV things, and it just seemed so shallow. Here I was, making some money at it, but I thought, I want to make something more substantive, and I realized I'm going to probably have to write and do this myself and make my own films, because I wanted to make films about faith and about hope. And the Bible says the world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. I wanted to do something that would hopefully leave a lasting legacy by having spiritual content.
Wow. And I applaud you for that, because too many people, and even if they did feel that it was a talent that they were blessed with, that the Lord gave them, whether it's guitar, whether it's filmmaking, whether it's acting, a lot of them still might choose, I got to take the route that's going to get me to the almighty dollar, instead of, I'm bold enough to put my faith first and show that in my art. So I'm going a long way to compliment you, Richard, and to commend you for saying my faith was more important than how can I get rich quick.
I mean, if I wanted to make a quick buck, the things that sell to me are so often so shallow and so poorly done, and they're just on the lowest shelf or the lowest common denominator. And my last film, people said, well, this is the first kind of family-friendly G-rated film I've seen in decades. Like, people that came and saw it in different theaters said, I can't remember. It's been decades since, there's been a G movie in the theater. But when I was a kid, they were coming all the time, Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Disney films. So, yeah, it just, I want to feel good at the end of the day when I put my head on the pillow.
Amen. For those of you in the audience who are familiar with the late Roberto Clemente, a superstar with Major League Baseball's Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day, Richard is going to tell us, in addition to his having been immortalized in the Baseball Hall of Fame, why Clemente should be canonized. So, yes, this is another example of a Catholic athlete in sports. From CYO leagues to high school teams to collegiate athletics, Alliance Catholic Credit Union has long been a proud supporter of Catholic sports. As a faith-based financial institution, they have all the products and services you need to manage your money. Put your money where your faith is. Join Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Visit alliancecatholic.com and get started in minutes. That's alliancecatholic.com, federally insured by NCUA. Audience, did I also mention that Richard Rossi made a feature film about Roberto Clemente that was a favorite of the late Pope Francis? First, though, back on episode 322, that was March 31st, my guest was Ralph Linsmeyer. In fact, 3 weeks ago on episode 327 with Diane Ninus, I had brought up Ralph due to his having lost his son a few years ago and his Catholic response to that with the Fruitful Futures Project. During that interview, you heard Ralph say that he was going to make a donation to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and in fact, he did send me a check in the mail. Of course, I certainly followed up with Ralph one-on-one and thanked him for that, but I wanted to also do so publicly, especially for those of you who heard that interview and his having said that he would do that. I admire Ralph and what he's doing with the Fruitful Futures Project, and I'm grateful for the check that he sent to help out Catholic Sports Radio. The timing is pretty ironic, too, because I just got an email from GoDaddy saying that the domain renewal for CatholicSportsRadio.net and the full domain privacy and protection hit my credit card to the tune of $45.16. To some people, that's a case of, okay, and just moving on. Unfortunately, that's not the case with me. It's more of a, response. So it does help when people like Ralph Linsmeyer make a financial gift to my ministry. It also helps me know that you like what I'm doing, that you're seeing value in the work that I put into this ministry, and I pray that it's an indication that this is impacting your faith life. The support means a lot to me. It really does. Trusting that you might feel so moved, I encourage you to utilize the Donate to CSR button on the website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail, like Ralph Linsmeyer did. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you're hearing me do on this episode with my expression of gratitude to Ralph. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I am grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Richard, 2 nights ago, I watched your feature film that's called Baseball's Last Hero, 21 Clemente Stories, which you say was a favorite of Pope Francis. How cool. Tell us about the case you're helping make for that Baseball Hall of Famer to be canonized.
Yes, thank you, Bruce, for taking the time to watch it. I'm really glad it's up free now so that friends don't have to pay for it on YouTube and Tubi. Yes, I was close with a nun as a boy named Sister Antonita, and Clemente was my favorite. I loved playing baseball as a boy, and he was my idol. And she was close with him, and she told me about some private conversations he said where he discussed his faith with her, and she led him into a stronger commitment to his Catholic faith. And I never forgot that because he's my hero. In fact, that's the title, Baseball's Last Hero. And so when I made the film, I have a scene, it's probably about 7 minutes long, where, and based on my dear sister that took care of me as a boy, where she discusses the cross and the gospel, and Roberto has his objections, some really valid, intelligent objections that she talks through with him. And I was pressured by, you know, the vast majority of people that helped me on the film were so upset. They said, here in the third act, when you want some momentum, you slow the film down for a 7-minute theology discussion about Catholic faith and the gospel, and you need to cut that out. Wow. Basically, and delete it.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I can't cut that out. I mean, that scene came to me at a Catholic marriage encounter meeting I was at, and I felt the Holy Spirit made it real clear, like, this is the whole point of the film. The theme verse of the film is, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, John chapter 15, verse 13. And so it was about sacrificial love. And I'm so glad I listened to my heart and convictions and stood up to the pressures of Hollywood to take it out, because that's the film that catalyzed the canonization for Clemente, because, you know, he died a very Christ-like death, dying to save others and bringing earthquake supplies to Nicaragua, food and medical supplies. He visited hospitals and prayed for healing for sick children in every city he went and played baseball. So what happened was that particular film really showed people his Catholic faith. And they started saying that he would be a wonderful, you know, saint, an actual athlete, an actual you know, well-known person. And so people were asking me to help them put together a letter to the Pope. So we sent a letter to the Pope, and then Pope Francis, as they call it, the Apostolic Nunciatory, wrote back to me, and we corresponded. And then they guided me to the Archbishop of Puerto Rico, because they said that the canonization process has to have the person where they died weigh in, and the plane crashed off San Juan. We ran into a bit of a snag, and it's been a public discussion, so I can share it, with the Archbishop there, because he had a question about Clemente having attended both Catholic and Baptist churches, because his mother was Baptist, Clemente's mother, his dad was an ardent Catholic, and so at times he went to both. And so I made the case to the Archbishop that after Vatican II declared that our Protestant brothers are our brethren in Christ, and I explained that he had the parents of mixed faith, I got the documentation from the churches in Puerto Rico that Roberto was baptized in the Catholic Church. He was married in the Catholic Church to Vera Clemente. His spouse until he died. In fact, she loved Roberto so much, she said, I'll never remarry, which she never did until she passed recently. And then he was also memorialized, not buried, of course. His body was never found after the plane crash.
Yeah.
But so I've made a case, and the Archbishop has had this question about, but Clemente's Catholic faith was well known. So recently, I haven't wasted any time, I'm back in touch with our new Pope and asking him if he would help me overcome this objection from the Archbishop of Puerto Rico. Because to me, like Clemente's going to the Bible studies in both churches, growing up with parents of mixed faith, to me, like he was being a good son and seeing Christ in his mother's faith, even though she wasn't Catholic. And I don't think it should be a deal breaker. We've had major, you know, league baseball players weigh in support of the cause. And Archbishop Jose Gomez, the Archbishop in Los Angeles, has been very supportive. He's written me some real letters cheering me on. And
wow.
He also has been excited about Catholic Athletes for Christ, a group that he's been involved with. And they love the film. And so I have a lot of allies in the Catholic Church. But, you know, so there was a lot of worldwide press about it the first time around, Los Angeles Times and Chicago Tribune and all that stuff.
Wow.
And then when the Archbishop of Puerto Rico brought up this objection, you know how the press sometimes likes the negative. So,
of course,
you know, they made a big deal about Rossi's been shut down. And then they some of the press have been positive, but some of the reporters called the Vatican and got a secretary or something and said, you know about the Clemente canonization effort? Well, no, I don't know anything about it. Then they'll write a big headline. We called the Vatican, and the person on the phone said they know nothing about it. Well, they don't even understand Catholicism, because one great thing about the Catholic Church for 2,000 years is it's secretive, and they take their time on matters like this. And someone just answering the phone's not going to know about it, but
yeah. They
don't rush into things. And so it gives me more respect for them, especially with like canonization, but also with miracles. When you're investigating the miraculous resulting, you know, in the evangelical world, there were all these faith healers I saw who would make these extravagant claims about they raised the dead and they healed the blind, all that, but there was no evidence. It was just anecdotal stories, whereas the Catholic Church, like, they're really investigating stuff.
Yeah.
And so when we say Clemente prayed for this person and they had a miraculous recovery, like, we need to get the prognosis and the diagnosis and the x-rays. I mean, the Catholic Church doesn't, like Pentecostal televangelists, say, oh, we got a story and a claim here. There you go. No, they want to make sure with doctors and with Jesuit scholars. I mean, they're so thorough, Bruce, you know?
Wow. And there's some things that you said in there that I want to circle back to. Number one is, I love that you stood strong in your Catholic faith and kept that scene in. As soon as you started to describe it, of course, it was just a couple nights ago that I watched the movie, but I immediately flashed back to seeing that scene in the movie where Clemente was talking to the nun. Secondly, you mentioned Catholic Athletes for Christ. Ray McKenna, who runs Catholic Athletes for Christ, has been a guest on this show.
Wonderful.
And the other point I wanted to make is that you talked about some of the things that he did, and yes, absolutely, dying a hero because he was trying to go and help people in Nicaragua. But let's not overlook the fact that you have a scene in your film where everybody's in the locker room celebrating having won the World Series except Clemente, because he's out being with the people. And isn't that just like Jesus? Jesus never said, hey, you apostles, stay over here and do your thing. I got to go find the glory and the praise and the honor and you know, shake the champagne bottle and hold up the trophy, so to speak. I'm, you know, making an analogy here. Jesus was right there with the sick, with the homeless, with the underprivileged, and this is what Clemente did, is said, yeah, that's great that we won, but there was another scene in the film where he said, like, I owe this to the people of Pittsburgh. So he was very much imitating Jesus in his sports life by being that humble and saying, of course, my teammates mean a lot, but the city means a lot to me, and I have to give back to these people.
Oh, I love that, Bruce. You made that point in a way I hadn't quite seen it that deeply. Thank you. Yes, he was very much that way. And also, like Jesus, you can recall in the Gospels, the children loved him and came to him. And there was times the disciples said, you know, shoo these children away. They're bothering the master. And Jesus said, no, no, no. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And Roberto was so beloved by the boys like me that loved him, you know, and he would always want to be with the children and praying for the sick children. And he ran baseball clinics for underprivileged kids that couldn't even afford a baseball glove. I mean, mm-hmm. he had, to me, such a Christ-like heart.
Amen. Amen. Let's switch to a film you did called Sister Amy, the Amy Semple McPherson story. I actually did a search on the internet, and it turned up that that was shown on PBS at one point. But Richard, that was up for an award at a film festival in Milan, and as a result, you had the opportunity to visit the Vatican and the Cathedral Duomo in Milan. You say that you had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit while going to confession in Italy?
Yes, I did. My dad had just passed. I love my dad very much. I mean, he had suffered manic depression and mental illness, but I always knew that he was good in his heart, and I was able to kind of put that in that context. And here I am in Italy, where Rossi is the most common last name in Italy, and my dad had just died, and it's very emotional. And when I went in the Duomo in Milan, confession was going on. And, you know, there's a saying, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. My Catholic faith's always been a part of me, but I had made that, you know, journey in my young adult years through, like, fundamentalism, evangelicalism, and been, you know, ministered in those circles. And here I was, and I saw this old Italian priest, and I had an experience with the Holy Spirit that was so powerful, Bruce. I felt led of the Spirit to go to confession, and now keep in mind, we both spoke Italian and English, but he spoke very little English, and I spoke very little Italian. We both spoke enough of each other's language to communicate, but we weren't fluent in each other's language. But we could understand enough to communicate. It wasn't an issue. And he prophesied over me. He said, this is a vocation for you. You're called as an artist to make films.
Wow.
And that is a ministry. He said, I sense the Holy Spirit saying this is a ministry. I confessed many, many things to him because it had been a good while since my last confession. So when you get to that part, it's been so long since my last confession. It was a long time. I was ready for him to, like, give me the look and the lightning bolt, right, of how long it had been. But he was so full of the Holy Spirit, and then he prayed over me that I would know in my heart I was forgiven of all my sins, and that I would know from a confirmation of the Holy Spirit that this film ministry was a ministry, that God had given me creative talents in music and movies and acting.
Wow.
And after the Spirit came on me in confession, I walked away, and there's all this beautiful art. You could probably Google and see the Milan Duomo Cathedral and all the beautiful sacred art of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And tears were coming down my cheek. And, you know, in Acts 2:4, it says they were filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues.
Yeah.
I started speaking in Italian, actually, which wasn't, again, my native language is obviously English. But I just started saying, grazie, Signor Gesù, grazie, Signor Gesù, which is praise you, Lord Jesus.
Wow.
And I just kept crying and shaking, and my hands were raised up, and I was looking at the, you know, the beautiful artwork of Jesus. And I just kept saying, grazie, Signor Gesù, grazie, Signor Gesù. And I carried a lot of shame in my life.
Mm.
You know, I had lived a kind of a worldly life. I mean, as a kid, I was playing in bars to all hours of the night. There were adults sometimes giving me stuff I shouldn't have been taking to keep me up all night so I could play late and then sometimes go to school the next morning.
Mm.
I'd been in very kind of worldly circles, having to try to make money in bars and having my guitar out on the street and people throwing dollars in. And so I just had a lot of crud. You know, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, the feet are what walk through the world. It was such a cleansing and catharsis, that confession of Milan. And it was a real turning point. I'm so grateful for, you know, fellow filmmaker friends, my friend Mark and others that, you know, supported me in making that trip there.
Wow, just beautiful, just beautiful. And you have studied with the Franciscans and led retreats at the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in Los Feliz, California. Tell us more.
Yes, yes. I really felt called to St. Francis. I love the peace prayer, and I love that he gave up a lot of his worldly goods to follow Christ. And I loved his connection to animals. And I was just drawn to his life, the way of the cross. And I was fortunate to meet a man that was very high up in the movie studios, had had a conversion experience and was studying with the Franciscans. And he was a man old enough to be my father, but he guided me towards the Franciscans. And I've led retreats there in Los Feliz at the Catholic retreat place. Unfortunately, there at the Sisters Immaculate Heart of Mary, I was very close with the nuns that ran it. And unfortunately, this is kind of a pop culture moment, but Katy Perry stepped in and wanted to buy that place.
Wow.
And convert it into a mansion.
Wow.
It was a beautiful big place. And so it became a big thing of these nuns being displaced, sadly, in a big court thing of Katy Perry wanting this place and the Catholic Church needing money. And I don't know how it's even turning out, but sadly, that place, I wish it could be restored to what it was as a retreat place. We'll see what happens. There's a bit of a legal thing going on about it. But those nuns would cook for me and all the guests at the retreat, and I would lead worship on my guitar. And, you know, we'd have different speakers, including myself. And it was just like heaven on earth going there. I found some other places in L.A. like that. A home church for me is St. Francis de Sales in Sherman Oaks, California. They have a beautiful prayer chapel, and I sit in there, and I kind of get the same feeling I had when I went to the retreat place. But I think we all need to take those moments where we're just alone with God and in sacred places like that.
You know, that story of Katy Perry and what was happening with the facility, that sounds like something for the Catholic Initiative. It was launched by the Pulte Family Foundation. We just talked about this on episode 325 with Kevin Doyle, a fascinating work that they're doing, I'm going to say safely in that regard. He's the president of the Catholic Initiative. So audience, if you did not hear that, April 21st, episode 325 with Kevin Doyle, go back and listen to what the Pulte Family Foundation and the Catholic Initiative are doing. Who knows if that's still an active case, maybe they can step in and help out and preserve that for the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Richard, tell us about your latest family faith-based film, Lucy and the Lake Monster, which I mentioned audience can be seen for free on Amazon.
Yes, I'm happy that families can watch it for free. I know how things cost when you have kids. I play the grandfather in the movie, and I've co-written it with a lifelong friend of mine, Kelly Tabor, and it's a story of me and my granddaughter, Lucy, and we're looking for the sea serpent, which is a legend that Champ, the sea monster, lives in Lake Champlain, which borders Vermont and New York. And it's won over 15 film festival awards. In fact, I'm on route today towards South Carolina. They're showing it in a big opera house, Sumter Opera House. Mm. But they can watch it free on Amazon, Plex, or Freevee. And it's a beautiful family film. And faith is like a thread all through it. Papa shares his faith to encourage Lucy, who is kind of bullied and picked on by other kids for her belief in the sea serpent. And the sea serpent's an allegory for God because she has this belief in him and everyone picks on her, you know, and mocks her faith. And Papa shares a verse with her throughout the film, which is Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. So I'm really proud I made something like this because I'm a grandfather now. Mm. I have two beautiful granddaughters, Ava and Sadie, and so I really wanted to do something for kids. There's nothing that, like, morally offensive in any of my prior films, but like the Clemente story, it's a bit more of an adult story. There's some pretty heavy stuff, you know, his death and the plane crash and things, but this is like one of those sit down with the kids, safe family films.
Well, audience, I'm going to put a link on the show page for Richard's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Lucy and the Lake Monster on Amazon so that you can go and watch that. And since you brought up grandchildren, Richard, let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yes, we've been married 41 years.
Whoa.
And we have two children. Our oldest daughter, Karis, is a graduate of Princeton Seminary. She's had an interest in theology and has the two daughters, our granddaughters, Ava, who just turned 3 last week, and Sadie, who's 1. Thankfully, Ava's feeling better. She had a fever this week, but it's back down to normal. I was praying, rebuking that fever like Jesus rebuking Peter's mother-in-law fever. Mm. And our son, Josh, is a very talented musician. He is very literate, and he's been a real student of some of the writings of Catholic theologians too. So we have a lot of great theology discussions around our place.
Fantastic. And 41 years, my gosh, congratulations. That's tremendous.
Well, I've been a recipient of a lot of grace, I can tell you that.
Richard, so wonderful to have you on the show. Congratulations on the Film Festival Awards, the nominations, everything that you're doing in that realm. And I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Oh, I am so glad to be here. I really appreciate what you're doing, Bruce, and I pray that God continues to provide everything you need for the broadcast, that people give to it. And remember that, you know, Luke 6:38, given it shall be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Thank you. Thank you. And audience, let's close with a prayer that we will acknowledge the time that you heard Richard talk about that he spent as an athlete. This is a prayer that is called Don't Quit. Let's pray it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst, you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And that sounds fitting for Richard's pursuit on behalf of Roberto Clemente. Thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more on CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.